When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced. It's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
There's Skeleton Crew.
I didn't watch the Skeleton Crew.
Tim didn't watch it yet.
Sorry, I knew this was a talking point.
It's only been out for a week.
Shut up.
So just bear with us.
Yeah, we can't show this. Sorry, Universal said no.
Yeah, we asked and Universal was like, well...
Yeah, we mother may-eyed this.
Disney... Can I say Disney?
Oh, boy. Please do.
I'm going to distance myself from you on that one. It's a corporate problem.
That was...
I hope our project manager on this, Scott from Universal, walks in right as Tim is saying that.
Don't, please. Okay.
Megan was backstage, so that could be a...
This is the weirdest cold open to our podcast ever.
No, it's not.
Really? Is this the weirdest open?
No.
No?
Is it the weirdest open? No.
Oh.
Just describe what's happened, Tim.
They just went into hyperspace this December.
Oh, that really narrows it down in Star Wars. Oh, wait.
There's fine. Jawas. No, hold on. No, there's like, they're like eating up like a...
The Jawas are eating?
No, there was like a machine getting eaten up. There's what? A spider. There's a lot of...
Those are the
Do you think...
spiders from Mando.
Okay, that's nice. That's enough. Do you think that's just going to be like a kid show?
Yes. Well, they've said it is a kid show.
Oh. So. It looked kind of dark, though. Like, I'm not going to let Kyler watch that.
You missed,
Star Wars,
most important part with Jude Law at the end. He turned it off. So.
Damn it. Can you give the welcome while...
They're all laughing because they know what I'm talking about. It's kind of the most important part of the entire trailer.
I thought I saw all of it.
No, oh. That part. That you, yep.
Oh.
I hear the music.
You're a Jedi.
You're a Jedi. At least let them...
Okay, that was actually pretty sick. Welcome to Star Wars and Scotch, live from Universal Studios.
Imagine that sound and the Universal security comes running in. Shut it down!
It's like the record.
Anyway, welcome to GCX 2024. Thank
you. Yeah, thanks for coming, guys.
It's our annual panel of Star Wars and Scotch. For those of you who don't know, Star Wars and Scotch started as an accident at GCX because we needed to fill a panel spot. So Tim and I were like,
we can talk for an hour.
We
That's
can
fine.
Talk for an hour about Star Wars. We brought our friend Mr. Woodhouse on stage, who at the time was with Fandom, and we talked about it, and we were like, you want to do this every week? Sure, we did.
And then we thought SpoilerCast would be a good idea.
That was a terrible idea.
It was horrible.
When we leave the realm of talking about Star Wars, between
we
us,
flop.
We terrible.
It's
terrible.
Really bad. Well, no. Lord of the Rings for you is pretty solid.
But I can't have the in-depth conversation.
I check out.
Yeah. Mindy, our COO, could go toe-to-toe.
Most definitely.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, you guys could do like a Lord of the Rings.
To the point where if you haven't visited the Misty Mountain booth, they have all the dice and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The tabletop. Their vendor that comes every year. You should. But I'm such a Lord of the Rings nerd that my wife wanted to buy me a dice set. She was like, these are like gems. And I was like, gems of pure starlight from the heart of the mountain.
That's
You don't know what movie that's from, do you?
It's from the first one.
First one what?
When they're talking to Galadriel.
Nope.
Then I don't know.
Elrond's dad says that in Hobbit movies.
Sorry.
Anyway,
this isn't Lord of the Rings. This is Star Wars and Scotch.
But they know if they listen to Star Wars and Scotch that I go on tangents about Lord of the Rings and other things. But what did you think of the trailer?
I like that. It's definitely going to... I don't know how we're going to cover that.
Didn't you think it felt weird to see like a village of or a suburban Star Wars neighborhood in the beginning of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, but we don't really ever get to see like what like suburbia, Star Wars suburbia looks like. And it looks a lot, you know, very futuristic, kind of dystopian.
It looked like the Helldivers Super Earth to me.
And we're talking about the wrong scene then.
If you watched the trailer last week.
I'm sorry. Anyways, I don't know. I mean, like, it's...
You're going to be able to watch the show with Kyler.
Do you think I'll be able to sit down? Because it looks like there's some scary parts in there. But, I mean, overall, do you think this is going to be, like, a show for dads
like,
and their kids?
I think it's, like, Never-Ending... Well, no, that's like a bad example.
That no, that's terrible. That's trauma.
For life.
No, and they're going to... Did you know they're redoing it?
Did you see...
It's going to be like... Yeah, they're going to
redo
it.
Did you see the picture?
Yes.
Did you see it? I'm not happy about it. If that is what I think it is, and we're all thinking the same thing, I'm going to be mad. You cannot change Falcor to not look like my dog.
The big white fluffy guy that you get around? I know, it looks weird.
Yeah, and his voice, if they change his voice, ride on my back. I'll be pissed. So, no, it's probably going to be, what's like a children's movie that wasn't traumatizing but was scary? Dark Crystal. Perfect.
Oh, that's a good one.
Perfect
yeah.
example.
Yeah,
so
I'm
going to
steal
like,
this baby.
in that...
Wait, isn't that... No, that's not the Jim Henson Muppet one?
No.
Darn it. Which one's that one? Ah, thank you.
Thank you.
Which one's the Dark Crystal?
Not David Bowie.
Oh, darn it. You're older than I am, Kevin. Sorry.
Yeah, we established that on the jam yesterday when I was talking about how great of a show Golden Girls is. Which when I got back to my hotel room last night and I was decompressing, I was like, oh, Golden Girls is so
God, nice. You're so old.
Just hanging out with the ladies. it definitely feels like something like Dark Crystal where it's produced, fun, it's a big budget type deal. I don't know what they spent on this one, but it's
Star Wars,
for families.
Probably a lot.
It's for families at the end of the day. And you know, we're going to get the people that are like, this is terrible. I want more. It's like,
yeah, Star
what
Wars
do we always say? Star Wars is for kids at the end of the day. So it'll be a great family one to sit down and watch. I think folks who maybe are looking for something more like Andor, not going to be into this whatsoever.
Absolutely not.
So
these kids look adorable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to get an only up scene with the kids.
No. No.
One way up.
So... oh God, there's,
don't look at that. You can't work right now. We're doing
talent,
podcasts.
Event manager.
You're talent right now.
Event manager. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm excited for it, but I'm excited to watch it with my kids.
I think that's I mean, like, it looks good. It looks like they put like a decent amount of production quality into it. I mean, like, some of the action scenes that they highlight look really cool.
I think the costuming looks good.
They showed some of it off at D23.
I think one thing that no one can dispute is that Disney's really, in the last few shows, has done a really good job of showcasing. I should say Lucas, not Disney, because of where we are. Lucas has done a really good job of showcasing. The aliens and bringing that old feeling to life of the costumed aliens.
Yeah, because they understood that like that's what made Star Wars really special is the puppeteering, the live effects.
We got, if you listen to the episode with Rex, our buddy in the corner over there, who loves the prequel trilogies, and if you've listened, you know how I feel about the first two at least. I think the CGI was one of the things that threw me off.
It takes away from it.
Yeah, because it's not this authentic experience that like George and the crew created.
Yeah, but now you can see this, like, the hybridization of it, which is just really heightens the experience.
Right,
it really sells it.
I also don't understand if he own ILM. I don't know what that relationship is.
I think it's his own thing now.
So yeah, if he owns ILM, why did we do all this CGI stuff instead of the costuming? I mean, that's also.
Because it was what was new and cool.
That's what people like Lord of the Rings better, because it's costumes as opposed to The Hobbit, which they went full CGI on the orcs and it looked terrible. So I think it's the same thing. You know, Disney's in this.
Did they really?
Yeah, all the orcs in. It's awful. It's awful. It's not great.
That sucks.
Because you lose that aspect of the. I don't know. They just look different, and it's a physical.
Yeah, but the ones from the original trilogy are really good.
Right, and that's why I appreciate it. So there's groups like Weta Workshop.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons I hated the Warcraft movie too. Was they like made the orcs CGI instead of giving them costumes? And that was Weta who did Lord of the Rings. So again, it just seems like a cheap way to make some. But I will say this: regardless of your feelings on the past few Disney shows, Star Wars has really done a good job of costuming and
very
sets
so.
And whatnot. I know some of the directors too don't like to use the volume sets. As well,
what?
They like to because they like want an authentic.
Oh, they want like practical.
What's his name? Who did Andor? He's all practical sets. He doesn't use any volume sets.
Yeah, but it really sold it. I think it needed that because like that's how they did that with What's the movie that Andor's on? Rogue One.
Thank
Holy
you.
Sorry, guys.
It's been a long
it's
week.
It's been a long
week. So we're going to need more audience participation.
I'm going to, yeah, so just yell at me. But yeah, that's Rogue One. Like, they went down to, they went into the Indian Ocean and were filming down there.
Yep. Yeah.
They could have done that in CGI. They could have done all that, but they didn't.
I read an article, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that said Rogue One is going to complete, or Andor Season 2 is going to completely change how you view Rogue One.
Really?
Yep.
Ooh.
Not sure how I feel about that. I think it's going to be good in the
but
end.
But I really like the way that I see Rogue One.
Well, when they originally set out, they said Rogue One Season 1, you're going to hit play, and you're going to be able to go all the way through.
Yeah, because Andor 2 will take you
right up to
right
the
up
moment.
Against Rogue One, and then Rogue One takes you right into Episode 4.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see what that means and how it's going to impact Rogue One. Like, I believe we're going to be seeing other characters from Rogue One in Season 2. Krennic's in Season 2. That's been confirmed. But
Director Krennic.
I'm wondering if we're going to see maybe some Galen or so.
I hope so, because that entire storyline between Galen and Krennic is awesome. They were friends. They grew up together.
I'm halfway through the Thrawn book with Krennic and Thrawn and them bickering and hating each other.
Yes.
So, catching up.
Is that two? That's the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trees?
That's the one where...
they're chasing the Grisk through
They're going to the Grisk, right? And they end up at Blackspire Outpost.
Oh, is that what's going to happen?
Fight over Blackspire Outpost.
Oh, spoiler.
Sorry. I've talked about it before.
You have. It's fine. It's been out for God knows how long.
I've really wanted to, like, ask, what do you think of it so far? Because I know you're a big fan of, like, old school EU. Like, you like...
It's engaging to me. I'm going to piss some people off. I like this Thrawn better than Heir to the Empire Thrawn.
I do, too. Yeah. And, my introduction to Thrawn was this Thrawn, and I had to go back and check out Heir to the Empire Thrawn, and I like this Thrawn a lot more. But Timothy Zahn wrote both of them. So it's not like one person's like, this is what I think Timothy should have done with Thrawn.
Well, if you go on the internet, it's a different story, but...
shut up, Star Wars theory.
But, yeah, I'm thinking when it comes to... Andor leading all the way in and whatnot. I'm thinking when we get left off there, I'm really curious, as we see other characters intersect into the show, what does that mean? Who's going to change? Like, I'm trying to wrap my head around the idea of changing how I view some of these characters, because
I want Mon Mothman to just do the worst things possible.
She's
committed war crimes.
They're softballing her to do something absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm. Like, her and Luthen are going to go do something just nasty.
I mean, I don't remember the exact line. I'm paraphrasing. But when he says in Rogue One, you know, you don't know the terrible things.
Yeah, when he's in the underground, he's talking to that guy, you don't know the sacrifices I've made.
Yeah, and we got a little taste of it. I have a feeling it's only going to get worse in Season 2.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the moral ambiguity of where's the line when
there
you're
isn't,
in a rebellion.
There isn't really a line. You do whatever you can do.
Do you think we'll see any other characters in Season 2, like Sidious, Vader, anybody like that?
I feel like if they ended up doing that, they'd do it just to get people excited. Like, I feel like that would almost take away from the story, because, like, they have their moments in
Rogue One.
In Rogue One, and they have those moments outside of it within that story arc. But there's no reason to introduce them other than just to get people like, oh my gosh, yeah, like that.
I want to see Yularen again.
Admiral Yularen would be really cool. Getting Wolf in there. Well, he's not Admiral yet, is
Spectre?
He?
Spectre? No, he was.
Because he was ISB.
Yeah, isn't he Inspector Yularen now, or... I don't remember his title, but so I'm excited. Moving up, one interesting thing that I want to bring up, again, other IPs. So Warcraft has an expansion in 2 weeks, and they dropped a 5-minute animated short for the first time ever. Not like one of their normal ones.
Right,
it was like anime. And we're seeing Lord of the Rings is doing a full anime movie about the story of like the Rohirrim King from 200 years ago. We've had two seasons of Star Wars anime that's not canon.
Yeah. Is and now coming? We get Star Wars Lego.
And there's Star Wars manga out there that exists.
Mm-hmm.
Is it happening?
I would like... I mean, like, you really like the Ronin story.
Loved.
A lot.
One of my favorite books in Star Wars.
That would be fun. Canon. I'd like it.
Do you
be down
think,
for it.
Do you think Disney is... Lucas?
Down to play around with, like...
Anime?
Down with anime. I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, they've done virtual. You know, they've done the 3D animated stuff with Rebels. You know, we had the old 2D animated stuff for Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Like, people want that. They really... Was it Kamigawa? No, that's Magic the Gathering. Sorry. What's the art style? You know the art style.
Ask them.
What's the art style? What do they call that for the old school Clone Wars? Can I remember?
The original Tartakovsky one. Well, that's his name.
No. But, like, you're...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Samurai Jack sauce. But people eat that up. People really, really like that. So I think going back to that or just embracing that, I think people would really eat it up. Because you even see kind of like hints of it in the what ifs, or not what, not
visions.
In the visions.
Yeah.
Or even in legends, even in some of like the Tales of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. A little bit of animated in there too.
Well, I mean, it fits if Star Wars at the end of the day is a Japanese Western.
Yeah. Lean into your Japanese influence.
Right.
People love that stuff.
So I don't want them to go away from the Clone Wars style of animation. I think we all enjoy that and want them to make more content in that style. But are other styles of animation coming down the pipeline?
I mean, it's still very, very popular. So for them not to embrace it and do something with it that would make sense, that would fit into it, yeah.
Yeah.
They'd be leaving it on the table.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to start lining up, we do this every year.
We didn't even get to talk about Outlaws, Kevin.
Well, we're going to. That was the segue, Tim.
Sorry.
I was going to say, you can start lining up for Q&A if you'd like to.
We'll do this quick commercial break.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
While Tim shares his experience of he got hands-on with Outlaws.
Yeah.
How long? You got a couple hours?
4 hours of Outlaw.
4 hours. So I was going to let Tim have a moment. You guys can line up if you want, or you don't have to, and we can do it that way.
Yeah, because we didn't even get to talk about it on the show because we were so busy setting this up.
Yeah, that's why we haven't had an episode in a few weeks, because I literally one day I was on my way to our warehouse, and he texted me like, hey, we're recording? And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Tim.
I was like, all right, I guess I'll start stream.
So
sick.
But yeah, if you'd like to share with the group.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, have you guys ever wanted to play Red Dead Redemption, but in a Star Wars universe? That's essentially Outlaws. Like, plain and simple, like, it is Star Wars in a Red Dead Redemption setting, which it fits perfectly back into the whole, like, Star Wars is, you've got your samurai influence and your Western influence. Like, they really bring the home that, like, that cowboy vibe, which is really, really fun. It's everything that you enjoy doing in Red Dead, where like you go into a town, you get off your horse, you walk into the local cantina, and like someone's talking about something that they did, like, oh, I killed that guy and I put his treasure down in the cave, you know, like that happened to me. I walked into like a repair shop and this guy was talking about how he left some stuff in a waterfall or in a cave behind a waterfall, and I got the waypoint. I was able to like go out, like, you know, like 2 miles out off the map, and was able to go find it, and it ended up being a treasure hunt, and I had actually almost turned into like a little murder mystery trying to find clues and work my way through. So it was really engaging, and so like it didn't feel like a almost like Survivor. Like in Jedi Survivor, they really wanted it to be like open world. They wanted you to like go out and explore, but it was still very linear in like how you progress. But this didn't really feel like they put the guardrails up, other than the flying was the only time I ever felt like they didn't want me to do something on my own, which was awesome. So like overall, like if you're looking for like that fantasy of going out and doing whatever you want, I think Outlaws is going to be it. The only problem is you don't get to create your own character. You do play as Kay the entire time. So what I hope we really get the opportunity to like make our own character and have like an online experience, almost like GTA Online, because you can see it when you play it. You're like, oh my gosh, like this is exactly how you played Grand Theft Auto or like Red Dead Redemption when you played the single player as Arthur Morgan. Like you just go all the way through their story. So hopefully by the end, it's like, and then here's Star Wars Outlaws Online. Fingers crossed. But yeah, like overall, 10 out of 10 experience. The only thing that I didn't like, which when Ubisoft showed off the gameplay, they showed the flying. Mm-hmm. And it made you feel like you were going to actually like control like a No Man's Sky. The only problem is that's the only thing on rails. Is like when you want to leave on your ship, you hit like takeoff. And so you're in the cockpit and you take off and it kind of just like puts you on rails through the atmosphere. And then once you break through the atmosphere and you're in space
is full control,
you can fly. And then okay. If you want to land on the planet, you get to a certain point and then you select it and then it goes on rails and then lands you in a spot.
Okay.
You don't get to fly around the planet. You can drive around the planet or walk around the planet.
Okay. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's a lot like Starfield, but like it's not the jarring like loading screens of Starfield. Like they hide that behind the. It's almost like Destiny when you're in a loading screen when you're playing around with your ship. It's that.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
I'm okay with it. I honestly, it didn't bother me. It's like it's kind of a tedious thing going in and out of atmosphere. If you ever played Star Citizen, like that's tedious. That's a chore. I hate going in and out of Atmos. It's not fun. So they just kind of took that chore out of it.
What about people were saying the graphical changes from
Yeah, I saw Asmongold do like a whole like video about like the graphics quality, and to full transparency, like the way that they had us capture it, they didn't want us to install the game on our computers. Crazy. We had to IP connect in over the internet to a machine and then like play it that way. So like, yeah, the graphics, like what we were seeing, weren't all that great. But when I got my recording back, it was all ultra and max quality. I don't know what they were playing because it doesn't look like the game that I played, crazy enough.
Interesting.
But it looks great. It looked really pretty. It's got all the NVIDIA stuff in it.
You played in 4K?
Yeah, we recorded it 4K.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to sound like a shill for Star Wars Outlaws, but like I was like I've had a lot of fun. Like I saw people like, oh, you're gonna play as a girl. I'm like, yeah, it's a cool story, oh, dude. Like it's an awesome story. Shut up.
Could care less.
Like Nyx, like the little sidekick that you have, he's awesome. It's really cool. Like he can go and grab guns for you. That was one thing that I thought was a little jarring at first, is that you only have her like DL-44 pistol, like Han Solo, and then other times he would bring you a blaster and you'd use it, and then she'd like chuck it on the ground. So like it's like almost like I'm trying to think of like a game that was
so
like
you don't
that.
Have like a weapons inventory.
No, you just have like your blaster that you can upgrade because it has a bunch of. It's almost like a Swiss Army knife. You can change it to do a bunch of different things. But if there's like a rocket launcher on the ground, you can pick it up and use it, and then drop it.
How many planets did you see?
I did two. So there was the new one that they made just for the game. I forgot the name of it. It starts with a T. And then there was another one that has been covered in comics, and I'm brain farting the name, but it was we had to fly through this like really cool like asteroid like debris field that had a bunch of like in space like thunder clouds and lightning and like it was like an ice field. It was really cool. But yeah, we had to fly through that and then go down into the planet. Oh, it's in episode 9. What's the ice planet they go to where they see Babu Freak? We went to that planet. That's where we were at.
Babu Freak?
And Babu Freak. Yeah. So we got to see that planet. It was really cool to get to like walk around the streets. Like, oh, that was from the movie.
I like it.
Yeah. So like overall, like I had a great time. I'm very excited for next week. Is it next? Yeah, next week.
Is it? No.
Yeah.
Is it 2 weeks?
26. Is it 2 weeks? Or is it next week?
It's the 26th is early access. That's
the 27th. It's 27th and it comes out on the 30th.
So a week from Tuesday. Don't do that to me.
Sorry.
I took off.
Isn't your anniversary like on the 28th?
No. No, mine's in May.
No, then what's coming up?
My
no, Danielle's birthday.
Birthday is two weeks from today. She had to be born when that game came out.
Sorry, Kat. That's very selfish of her.
I'm trying to take off that week because Warcraft War Within comes out, Outlaws is out.
I need you to play it.
And Rings of Power Season 2 comes out that week. So I just want to nerd out after all this and relax, and then we can talk about Outlaws.
Excellent.
Cool. No one has questions, so we can just keep going.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
That 1 year we had a line out the door.
Yeah, because it was like everyone's first time like ever hearing Star Wars. Like we talked about things that were like, what is this? And we're like, very easy like to answer questions people are asking about, like the Emperor or like Vader.
Do you think we've done the podcast too long that all their questions got answered? is it time to take it away from them?
Oh,
my brother has a question.
Oh, hey, okay.
Hi, Jake.
And
mic's off. No, you don't get a mic.
There you go. We can hear you. Hey, Jake.
So the show name is Star Wars and Scotch.
We don't drink.
Yes. Sorry.
We do, just not right now.
Well, how many episodes has it been since you guys have actually drank scotch while doing
Probably
the
100 or so, because we can't drink scotch at 8 in the morning.
That's the problem.
I mean you can.
Could.
It is very much so frowned upon. Do we need to go back to like evening times?
I can't.
Could change
physically.
The show name.
We really... Okay, old so I've been trying to call this Star Wars and Calf for the longest time.
Okay. Would you accept the name change?
Would you take Star Wars and Calf? Because we drink coffee every morning when we do this.
What about like Sunshine and Star Wars? That's a little weird, but like
that's,
something else.
What?
That's not good.
Does he look like Sunshine to
who's
you?
Who's the creative one in the family? Can you tell?
Not the guy who's running the show. That was a joke. That was a joke. He is the creative one.
He's an engineer, just for the... Yeah. So I'm the one that's creative. Go sit down. I'm the older brother, too. Hi, what's your name? Where are you from?
My name's Isla, and I'm from Virginia.
Hey,
what's up?
I was wondering, like, what's your favorite thing out of, like, all the, like, Star Wars universe?
Anything? Like, any type of media?
Anything.
Go for it, Kevin.
Knights of the Old Republic.
But why?
I don't even have to think about it. That game, I've said it on the show, but I'll say it again. That game was life-altering for me. That is the reason I got interested in the expanded universe. It's very difficult to play now. The controls have...
It did not age well. It
very
is horrible.
Dated. But the story, and again, my opinion, is the greatest story in video game history, not Star Wars history, video game history, because after 40 hours, the plot twist is incredible. It's, I mean, you know, has everyone played it? Can I say it? No? Okay. All right. No. That guy hasn't played it. And I want you to enjoy the remake, so I'm not going to say it. But the plot twist, my jaw fell on the floor. I couldn't believe it. I did not see it coming. You?
I mean, like, Star Wars, The Old Republic, like, that whole time era was really fun for me. So, like, Knights of the Old Republic, I have a great memory of sitting in the back of my mom's van going up and down the Eastern Seaboard because she thought doing a vacation in Pennsylvania would be fun and drive the whole way.
It wasn't fun.
It was horrible. So I sat in the back of my mom's minivan with a like little TV and an Xbox and a power converter, and I played all of Knights of the Old Republic.
So you had more fun playing that than the trip to Pennsylvania?
No, I mean, like, we hung out with Amish people in Pennsylvania.
Like Mike from Security?
No, like actual Amish people.
Mike from Security is Amish.
Yeah, but he doesn't like horse and buggy, like full on, like... Yeah. They make pretzels, and like, they made pretzels. We stopped for pretzels, and they're like, "You want to come to our house?" And like, my parents are like, "They don't look like murderers. We'll just go." So we went.
They're Amish.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Who knows? But yeah, I think I'd have to piggyback off of you. Like, that is probably like one of my favorite, like, most memorable Star Wars. Like, just anything is Knights of the Republic.
What's yours?
Probably Clone Wars.
Just the whole series?
Like all of it?
Yeah, the whole series.
Yeah, do you have, like, one favorite Clone Wars character that you, like, really resonate with?
Probably Ahsoka.
You and me
get along. She became my favorite character over the years in the entire universe. So when that show came out, I was geeking out. And then they had the Mortis Gods. I was in heaven.
Well, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. Thank you for asking a question. Do you know they're supposed to put Ahsoka in Battlefront 2, the video game? Sorry.
Ooh.
That game's dead. It's okay. I can tell those secrets now.
That makes me mad. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Where are you from? What's your name?
My name is Ronald.
Hey, Ronald.
North Carolina.
Welcome.
Welcome.
My question is, do you guys know anything about Star Wars Eclipse, the game that was announced years ago?
I bet I know just as much as you do.
Yeah, it's supposed to come out when I'm 48.
It's a really cool trailer.
It's a really great trailer. Nothing else on it.
It's because it was supposed to be High Republic, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to come out when I'm like 50 or something.
Yeah, it's like 2028.
There's some games at this point that I'm like, I'm not touching that until I'm probably in my early to mid 50s, like Elder Scrolls 6.
And, that's never coming out.
Elder Scrolls 7 will be my 80s or something. But yeah, I don't know anything about it aside from that really cool trailer. We know it's High Republic.
Yeah, it was the cool trailer, and then they said that it was getting pushed back. And then
2028.
And then like, no, we're still working on it.
So why'd you tell us? So
then, yeah, why did you tell us, and why did it take that long to make a video
game? That's a huge problem in gaming right now. It's like, here's this amazing trailer of this thing we're working on. We'll see you in a decade.
Yeah, or it just never comes out.
Yeah.
And you just don't hear of it ever again.
So, no, we don't know anything. Do you know anything?
Could you imagine?
Does anyone know anything else about Eclipse that we didn't know?
No. Yeah, it's like a lot of these Star Wars games get put into like limbo. So we've got Knights of the Old Republic that's in limbo. We have no idea if it's actually being made or not.
It depends what week it is.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, I don't understand why people are so worried about us making this game if it's actually going to happen.
Last I was told by a friend who, he's not working on the game, he works in the publishing side.
Yeah.
It's still being worked on.
Interesting.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll keep waiting too.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. My name is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Local.
Cool. Welcome.
Welcome.
Just wondering about the with the success of Andor and things like Rogue One. Do you think we should get more things in that vein, whether animated or not?
Absolutely.
In a more
dark adult live action Star Wars.
Dark adult. So one thing I think that they will never do. I know we talked about this with Anne when we had her on.
Yeah.
Was rated R. It's just not. It goes against who Star Wars is at its core and what it's meant for. Now, that could change over time, and I could see them changing it. I think Deadpool and Wolverine was a humongous experiment for Disney.
Yeah,
and it's probably one of their most successful humongous experiments. So, I'm sure there's a board meeting as we sit here on Monday or something where they're talking about what else can we do with this and keep, you know, our brand safe. Because at the end of the day, that's what they care about. Will our brand remain safe for children if we make this adult content? So Deadpool and Wolverine was a good stepping stone. I know you want to see like the haunted stormtrooper virus ship.
I mean, the dark Star Wars for me is really fun. You know, I love like sci-fi horror. Alien, I can't wait to watch Alien. Has anyone seen Alien yet? Okay. Is it good?
I've heard nothing but things.
Okay. I'm very excited to see it. So I like that. I love that tone. And seeing Star Wars put into a dark tone, like with Andor, like that is really cool for me. So I think Lucas understands that, you know, they're also their fans are aging. You know, and I think that's X-Men 97 and Wolverine and Deadpool are great examples of a realization that the people that grew up with this stuff are getting older. So we need to kind of tweak our content a little bit to fit that because they're the ones that are going to pay for it. Right. And then and then they're going to turn their kids into fans and so on and so forth. So you do have to cater to that a little bit. So I think we will see an evolution of the tone of Star Wars kind of change. And if anything, like you see how Skeleton Crew is. Like you have a live action Star Wars show that is tailored towards a specific demographic, and it can still operate and exist in the same ecosystem as Andor when he's like kicking somebody down and puts a blaster to his head. But they're in the same universe, they're happening around the same timeline, but they're for completely different audiences, which is really cool.
I also think Disney needs to solve the Sith issue, and I'm not an issue, but the Sith formula, because how do you make something or content that's cool as Sith without glorifying the bad guys?
Yeah.
Now, they are opening their new villain land that they announced. I shouldn't be talking about this. I should stop. but we all know Dark Universe and Epic Universe will be much better. But they're going that route. So there's an appetite for it. But when it comes to the Sith, we haven't gotten a solid story in live action or animation. We'll see what happens.
Maybe with Acolyte as we go. That makes sense.
But I think that has to be explored before you can like up the ante on the content. So I think the ultimate question at the end of the day is how dark can we make PG-13?
Yeah.
And then see where we can go from that.
Cool. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Anybody else?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We got Shrug Guy
Hello.
Over here. No, we got the, before you say a word, what is your adorable dog's name? Because I've been admiring shoes. The shoes every time you walk
in. Little shoes
His
on.
Name is Scooby.
Hi, Scooby. You are wonderful.
You're a good boy.
So good. I'm sorry. Now, what's your name?
My name is Krista Nemo. I'm also a local. My question is, have you guys watched Young Jedi Adventures?
Yes.
So what do you think of it? And is it a good stepping stone to bring kids into the universe?
Abso-freaking
1,000%. Both of our young kids love it.
Dude, and then when he starts naming off characters and stuff, and like seeing characters from the High Republic book show up in the show, I'm geeking out.
Yoda's
like, oh my gosh, that's him. And like so like seeing Ember for the first time was like really cool because I've only like heard it in the books. And so to see her, that was really
the funniest one for me. If you've read the High Republic books or the comics, you know, when they showed Loden, I was like, he's going to have a rough
I said, I was like, wait a second, he died.
He's going to be turned to dust. By a force monster. But it's cute.
It is. And the new season just came out. Apparently, there's a Hutt slug that is like winning everyone's hearts over. My kiddo sits down and I sit down with him and watch it, and he loves it. And so, like, he knows like when I need to go do Star Wars and Scotch, that he gets to like watch. He gets a Star Wars show that he gets to watch too. So I think it's great. It reminds me of like any other show you'd watch, like any other like a kid show. Like it has a theme. It has something that it's trying to get across. across that you'd want, like something you'd want to teach your kid, right? Like there's something there for everybody, and yep. I like it a lot.
Yeah, my daughter, when she watches it, she has to go get, she doesn't have her own lightsaber, so she goes and gets her older sister's lightsaber, and she's running around the living room, swinging it over her head, going, the funniest thing is it makes the noise, but she still goes, so it's really cute. But yeah, I love it.
Yeah, awesome. I can't Thank recommend
you.
It enough.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye,
Bye
Scooby.
Scooby.
You're so cute.
Little shoes.
I can't. Hold on 1 second. I'm just looking at Scooby.
Sorry.
He's adorable. Go
ahead.
What's your name?
You don't get it's fine. You couldn't have picked a better name for the dog.
Right?
So you actually kind of answered this question. Also, first GCX. I missed day one, but I'm here for the day. And also first time hearing this, so I'm enjoying it so far.
Dude, thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So with you, you kind of mentioned how like they're kind of having issues with the Sith and it's kind of like not really resonating.
Yeah.
I had the question of what kind of story have you guys not seen or heard yet in any medium that you would want to see?
Ooh. I think the low-hanging fruit. Now, there's two answers to this for me. The low-hanging fruit. Thank you, Shane. Everyone give a hand for Shane from security. Mainly because he's bringing me coffee.
Honestly, shout out to production and Universal staff and everybody else. You guys have been amazing. Thank you very, very much.
If only King's Ghost was here this year, I wouldn't have to do this.
Yeah, Kevin.
I just said it. It was the plug. That was our ad for the show.
That's good.
The two ones that I would say the easiest, Darth Bane's already canon. His story's not canon. He's already canon. Regardless of whether that was him or the Force Ghost, who cares? He's canon as a character. So he would be the easiest to bring in. I would say doing some sort of animated series to cover, you know, I will say the trilogy of books and rewrite it the way they want it written would be the easiest. I think the one we're actually going to get, and maybe not fully Sith, is Revan.
Mm.
At some point, Revan will come into play, and whether that's live action, who knows?
I think they're waiting for the game.
I do, too. I think the game has to release before Revan is made in any other medium. Technically, he is canon because of that one, the Sith Legion from Episode 9. Yeah, is named the Revan Legion.
Because I'm also waiting for the game. I don't know his story. I just know he's one of the most regarded
characters. You are in for such a treat. And
I know.
Please avoid all spoilers along the way because I can't.
Some of the best characters come out of that.
The problem I have is that it's so hard to play. So my oldest daughter tried, and she's like, Dad, these controls, I can't do it. And I really want my kids to experience it the way I did. So I'm really hoping this remake sees the light of day and that it doesn't get spoiled by people because it is, again, it is such a good story plot twist, period, end of sentence, not Star Wars, just so good that you'll be so shocked by the end. Now, you may see the hints along the way and pick it up way before I did, but I mean, still, the journey is just fantastic. I hope they don't touch it that much. I hope they don't add planets. I hope they keep it the way it is with the star maps and Malak and everyone, and you get the same experience that I had just with better graphics and better controls.
That's what I'm hoping too. Maybe a few cosmetic things that are just like kind of new that would introduce. Like,
yeah, I mean, the gear in that game is horrendous. You look like a maniac. Like once you get geared up, you got like these weird green goggle things, and you look like Jordy from Star Trek.
Yeah, you do.
And then you got like a shoulder pad that's like bronze, and then you got green pants with yellow strips. It just looks so funky. So that they could definitely fix. But,
I think if they just give it the Final Fantasy VII treatment.
Yeah,
that's all they need to do.
Do that. That's it. So, yeah, but, I mean, I'm all for those two. Do you have any other?
The only, like, for me, really, the things that we haven't really touched on is just, like, the core mechanics of Star Wars, like, the origin stories. And I know we know that Dawn of the Jedi is coming, but there's so much more to it. There's so many things that you're just like, I don't understand how this works. And so I would love to see, like, how it all started. Like, what's the history of it? Like, when was the, like, how did they come across lightsabers and kyber crystals and things like that? So it's just, like, there's so many things and, like, so little details that they could just expand upon and build, you know, different shows and things off of. So I'm really hoping hoping that Dawn of the Jedi is like everything that I want when it comes down to just the beginning of it all, and it's a good story.
I mean, personally, I'm looking for you don't have to answer this if it's Revan's. You can just say yes, I agree. I'm looking for a what's a good way to put it? A relatable Jedi turns into Sith, not just because corruption or evil, but just I don't like the Jedi anymore, and I'm not gray Jedi. I would rather be a Sith.
So there's a lot of good stories in EU. You know, you could look at some are a little extreme, like they're not the I'm tired of the Jedi, so I'm going to be Sith. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of some, but I would read some EU to just like kind of wet your palate there.
Yeah.
And there's some really good stories of Jedi who fell to the dark side, but are also have morals.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's basically what I was talking about. I was just like, my morals say I need to be otherwise.
But that's where the theme of Star Wars is going right now. Is it's like the Jedi are fallible. The order is corrupt. You're like, I don't understand why we can't love and why can't we have passion, like all these things. They're questioning their doctrine. And like, I love seeing that. I love seeing that they aren't just like robotic, you know, just like, I'm a Jedi and this is it. And that's all I can do. Like, no, you're human. Like, I mean, you have these emotions.
Acolyte is literally just a giant cover up.
Yeah, most definitely. I love that. I like showcasing that the Jedi are fallible.
Do you have anything against like Tab Target games like World of Warcraft or anything?
I've never played WoW.
So here's my recommendation. You can play Star Wars The Old Republic and you're not like, I hate this game, play the story. Don't bother with the dungeons and all that stuff. Just play through the story. Each class up to 50 has their own story. So, and it's dynamic. So you can do whatever you want. So I have like...
He has way more than...
I have like 18 max level characters in that game. I have made like light side Sith that make morally good choices. So you can have fun with that and make your own adventure in that game. But, I mean, it's a Tab Target game and not everyone's into it. Like, he can't play those.
So boring.
I've tried to get him to play it and he won't play with me.
I can't do it.
So just like I can't play Tarkov because he gets mad at me.
If you just get out of the way...
You guys would just be better friends.
We try.
We're like brothers.
He did give me my first victory royale in Fortnite. So.
All right, I'll get out of here.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Appreciate it.
Anyone else? We got 20 minutes. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What's your name? Where are you from?
My name's Haley. I'm from out of town for Vegas.
Cool.
Wow.
Welcome.
Cool.
So you guys mentioned Knights of the Old Republic. That was something that came out before I was born. But I loved playing it with my dad.
Heck yeah.
I liked the concept of the game in terms of it being akin to an MMORPG and having mm-hmm. a lot of diversity in the way you could create your character.
Yep.
How would you feel if they did something similar to Final Fantasy XIV, where you start as either a beginner acolyte or just, you know, beginner Sith Lord, and then slowly progress the story and went through either like the books of like Admiral Thrawn mm-hmm. or some of the older material?
So like a modern era version of that where
I've never played Final Fantasy XIV, so I don't know.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. So that's the online one, right?
Yeah, it's the MMO. I played it. So something essentially a version of the Old Republic game, but more modern and where you can make those.
Yeah.
Because in Final Fantasy, you can't really make choices, right? It's just
no, you are able to make choices.
You are?
Some of the choices that you make dictate the dialogue.
The MSQ along the way?
Yeah.
Okay. Because so, I might have like a level 56 character in that game. I know, I'm missing out. Berate me. Go ahead. I know. I can only play so many.
Find more time, Kevin. Come
I know.
On. Jeez.
I think Star Wars needs a new MMO. I think it's an IP that's conducive to people playing together.
And people wanting their own power fantasies.
Yes.
Now, the problem you have is EA owns the rights to the Old Republic. And a modern era MMO doesn't work because of the Sith rule of two. That is the major issue. Now, you mentioned Acolyte and, you know, doing that. The problem is in a multiplayer game is... How would you explain that away when, unless you went like more what Space Marines, the new Warhammer game's doing, yeah. where it's three player. So maybe if you contained it to a certain amount of people and it was more of a multiplayer experience, like Red Dead and less of a MMORPG, you could do that. So with that being said, the only era that it works in is the Old Republic because the Sith had their own empire then, so it didn't matter how many there were. As far as the story goes, I think, again, I told him, Old Republic has great stories.
Yes, it does.
It's just dated.
Yes.
And it's really rough if you don't play MMOs.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's also, I'll say this, it's a bit confusing if you say, tell someone, go play the story, and then they get to, like, Fleet, and there's, like, 60, 70 people running around. And you're like, wait, I was kind of in this for the story, and then people, you know, spam and chat and all that stuff, like, join me for whatever. So I think it works. I just don't have the confidence that EA, who just sold the development of the game to a new company, Broadsword, that would make a competing, or Lucas would even have a competing like multiplayer experience when they want you to just go there and spend money in that cash shop at this point.
Yeah, that's fair, because most of the Star Wars games that they've came out with are mostly like single player IP, very limited, you know, multiplay, or they come out with like the battle royale esque, like Star Wars Battlefront and whatnot.
Yeah,
yep.
I'm
with you. Like, we're on the same page.
Yeah, I'm a huge MMO junkie.
Same.
Old Republic was my first MMO, and then I did Wizard 101, and then I slowly developed into, you know, Final Fantasy.
Is 14 your main now?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't played it recently with the new Dawn Trail, but I still occasionally go back to like my older MMOs of Old Republic and Wizard 101.
Sometimes you need that break from your main for like 6 months, and then you can hop into the other ones that you're missing and like check in on your characters. So
and
I feel you.
See how overpowered you are now that everything's not updating anymore. But it would just be nice to see like a new updated version of Old Republic.
I will say this, I don't think we'll ever go without some version of it, because when Old Republic came out, it replaced Galaxies.
Yeah.
And aren't they working on Galaxies, or isn't someone making like a Galaxies?
They have a private server, and so far they haven't been shut down.
Yeah.
But I also think that what happened with City of Heroes getting an actual license to continue,
they can keep
run or permission, really dictates a new era for old MMOs and folks like us who like probably will still play the same games for 20 years. I think it's a new era of the potential to license these old MMOs to people, as long as they're going to do the maintenance, the updates, all that stuff, and maybe they need brand guides to make sure they stay in line with the story, whatever it may be. Now, City of Heroes is its own license, so it's a little bit of a different story versus a Star Wars, which is owned by
And to your point, like why they stay with like the more like single player, like just like linear progression, is because it's so hard. Like if it doesn't fit within the story, like they don't want to do it. Like that's why like Knights of the Republic and like things like that, because it's canon, they can go off and kind of do their own things because it doesn't adhere to anything that they're trying to make in this very like concrete linear storyline with Star Wars. Because I feel like the overall vision for Star Wars is that you start at like the beginning and then you can go all the way to the end and it's just like one nice long piece. And with a MMO with Star Wars in its current state, and knowing how, like, I was involved with the Battlefront development, and so knowing, like, they had to get approval for every single little thing and having to go back and forth, it's a lot of work working with an IP like that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's also what's kind of stopping or slow rolling the development of games like that, is because trying to create something that adheres to all of these guidelines is really difficult, and it's strenuous on the teams.
You also have to remember with games, we're kind of hitting a wall with AAA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indie is starting to become better than AAA games.
But indie can't afford the licensing to go work on games.
But is that going to, where's the flux in that? Where's the money going to
move
to? Like, look at Arrowhead with Helldivers. Like, they can now develop a new game with AAA budget. So, or
as long as there's
updates.
No Sony sign in there, we'll be fine.
God. We shouldn't be talking about that either here. I think with that being said, the one thing I've noticed, and you may have noticed this too, is there's this like weird resurgence of people wanting to play old MMOs.
Yeah.
And then you have a game like Ashes of Creation that we've been, and there's another one, guys, that we've been waiting for God knows how long. With that being said, I feel like new people are going to try Tab Target MMOs, folks that might have been kids or younger, or maybe people like you and me who kind of want to go back and experience those worlds again. So maybe one of two things happens. Maybe Old Republic gets a surge at some point. Because have you ever logged in when a Disney show is on, like a debuting?
Yeah.
The fleet is packed with people. Because you watch it and then you get the itch immediately. You're like, I should check on my Jedi. I want to swing a lightsaber around. That's one scenario. The other one that I could foresee is what happened with Galaxies, where they want to make an updated version because they know they can make more money. And unfortunately, that's what it always comes back to. So they'll shut down Old Republic with a timer and create some sort of new Star Wars experience. They could, you know, because we're getting a Dawn of the Jedi thing. Maybe they'll go back. I don't know. But that's what I could see playing out.
What if they ended up doing a take kind of like Destiny, how we started out as like just a beginner guardian and then they slowly progressed the story like they have done, but instead they did.
I think if you have the opposing factions and the ability to do that in an MMO setting, if you're talking Destiny, like more linear, like I think To play Star Wars, you need the choice.
Yes.
Who do I want to be? Do I want to be neutral, gray, whatever people call it? Do I want to be light? Do I want to be dark? Do I want to be make my own decisions and carve my own path?
But the problem is, as soon as you start making those decisions, you have a butterfly effect, and then you can actually you would be affecting the story, the main story of Star Wars. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's from like a, like they would have to isolate this story from everything else in Star Wars to make it work. So it would have to be either something that's EU that they say like in another galaxy in a long time ago, like in a long time ago in another galaxy far, far away. Like it would have to be like a Visions almost style game of or a what if kind of scenario. That's why like everyone's freaking out about Darth Jar Jar right now. And I'm like, guys,
it's Lego.
And they're like, but it's there. I'm like, no, it's Lego. Man, so it's not gonna be
really
canon.
Fun.
He looks awesome. But like that's the problem. Like that's like the hoops that everyone has to jump through is like, okay, if I make this really cool game, like does it mess up like Darth Vader and Padme getting together, and then Luke and Leia aren't born? So like it's like Dune. Like Dune's doing that right now, Dune Online. Like it's gonna be like, what if the whole Atreides storyline is completely different.
I think the Dune game.
Like, what
is
if Paul wasn't born?
Yeah, it's going to turn heads in the sense that, like, wait, we can create an alternate universe and just slap a game in there, and then we have no restrictions on the story.
And that's the only way that Star Wars could do that. It would just be like a Star Wars what if video game.
And they did it with Vision, so
yep.
Is it possible?
Absolutely.
100%.
I'd have no problem with it, you know, especially if it helps the developers, because I know. I've had a lot of debates on like what is canon within the Star Wars universe, yeah. What isn't, and a lot of very strenuous arguments. And I also know that it's super hard when creating a storyboard and all that other stuff for just moving forward a game, as you said, with a big IP like that.
Yeah.
So if they did do it, it would allow a lot more creative freedom, not only for the story writers, but you know, just all the game developers in general. And it would be a cool concept to see, because it's similar to Final Fantasy XIV.
Yep.
It's similar to the rest of the Final Fantasy franchise, but it's not modern. It's like ages before, but they do have like events where they like warp in some of the older characters, like,
yep, Cloud, I've seen that,
and they show off like the, you know, advanced modern primals.
Yeah,
I think it would be cool if they did something.
Didn't they do that with like Kefka and some of them, and some, I don't know if,
yes,
those were events
they
or permanent ones
from 15. They brought in some of the characters from 15. They brought in a lot of the stuff from 7. Like they even got rewards for like certain veteran levels. You get like the gear of the different characters. It's super
nice.
Yeah, and I like that system better, because the way Old Republic does it now, it's like Bad Batch came out, like buy these Bad Batch helmets, they don't call them that, on the store.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, let me earn them in the game by doing something. Don't just slap it on me as a, you know, extra cost.
Kevin, credits make the world go round, so.
No, but there's other ways to monetize and have us have fun.
Yeah, it was nice. Thank you so much for your questions. Pleasure talking to you. Sir.
Anyone else? Oh, we do.
Hi, I go by Dank.
Hey, Dank.
Orlando. Yep. So, so going off the whole, like, Star Wars Destiny-esque game, like,
yeah,
a, like, thought happened in my head. What would your opinion be if they did like a Clone Wars where you're starting as a Jedi? Like, you can probably be in the tutorial. You'll be your Padawan going through training. You understand how your Force abilities work. And then you're now one of the generals within the Clone Wars as a Destiny-esque game battling the droids.
I mean, an FPS experience, essentially, but you're a Jedi.
Yeah.
So you have Force
like
abilities.
Destiny-esque, kind of like...
Kind of like, what was that EA game that didn't do so hot last year?
Oh,
Oh man,
it was the Call Mortals. Of Duty. It was a Call of, yeah, Mortals.
Yeah, that one. So similar to the way that Magic looks. I'm not saying that game.
Yeah.
But,
I think it'd be cool. I mean, like, I'm all for it.
Would they do?
Because it gives you the power fantasy. You get that power creep. You can upgrade your lightsaber. You know, you pick different parts. I could totally see that.
What if that was like Battlefront 3, and that was like the big hook?
Yeah.
With some sort of story where you're not a trooper with a gun or a blaster, you're...
I don't know. They tried the story for Battlefront 2, I thought was going to be really good, though.
The Iversia one was...
They should have played into that more. They really...
But what if it was just, what you know, essentially Battlefront 3, and that was the play, was Jedi this time, and they really enhanced how the FPS experience is with Force powers and lightsabers.
That's what everybody wants.
But does that make it too OP, then? Or is it more...
But I think it's okay as long as it's in a single-player setting.
But then you need droids to be able to match that power, too.
Well, yeah. Well, yes, and that's the problem.
So you'd need, like, the assassin droids to be OP.
Yeah, or, like, the big B2 battle.
Is that kind of what you're thinking? Like,
kind of. So something like how Jedi Survivor is, but, like, a multiplayer-esque, yeah, but more in the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm. So a third-person perspective, not first?
It could be first-person or it could be third-person. Like,
I prefer third-person.
I like third-person.
I feel like third-person might be better, especially for playing the Jedi, but...
Yeah. I like third-person because I can see the stuff that I earned in the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's literally...
Very valid.
Destiny is a special place in my heart, but one thing that always bothered me about Destiny was like, yes, I have this cool weapon, but it's like, end the gloves.
Yeah.
That's all, unless I'm in the tower, that was all I got to experience. So, I like the concept. I think it would be fun. I think they would probably have to like more base that on Survivor, but build it into some sort of multiplayer experience at that point.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could definitely, like, if you would use Survivor as like the foundation for that. I mean, yeah, like, they've really built it out to be that. You could put an online component to it, and it would work out pretty well.
Yeah, so. I think it's a cool idea.
I'm really surprised. Like, we have no idea even what, because like the formula from Jedi Fallen Order to Survivor changed so much on like how they handled the game. I think if they were to adapt that even more, I think you could actually like, see it moving in that direction too. Get like more control over Cal Kestis. And like, I think that's the only issue too, is like they won't let us create our own characters, and so like you will never truly get that like that type of fantasy of being able to be that person. So you would always have to take on the role as someone else. So you would have to be like a Jedi Master that you've seen in Clone Wars, and then you'd have to give them a power fantasy up until a certain point, because then they die. So like, you know, there's going to be an end, and I think that's always like what kind of keeps them, is because like their stories have been told and you know how it's going to end for them.
The difference with the EU and the modern was they could make you have character selector, and then they would make a canon version of the story. Like, there's a canon version of Knights, there's a canon version of Knights 2, there's a canon version of Old Republic. They don't want to do that anymore because
it's too much
saying.
Yeah,
so
yeah, but
cool.
Okay.
Thanks for coming. Thank you very much.
Hi.
Hey.
My name's Alex.
Hey, Alex.
What's up, Alex?
I'm coming from Jersey.
Ah.
Hey.
I just had a quick question. So, kind of to expound on the earlier topic of getting like a game more set in the modern day universe.
Yeah.
Star Wars. So you mentioned the point, like, you have to make sure that it's, you know, lineal, you know, makes sense with the rest of everything mm-hmm. around it.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why you think we don't get more things with where the story's a lot more loose, like the Old Republic era shows, stuff like that? Not going to get into the whole controversies with it that happened with recent shows and such, but is there a reason why we don't see more of these, like, because I'm. Love lightsaber battles. It's mm-hmm, really, sure. It would be really awesome to see like a show set in the Old Republic where you just have a bunch of Sith and a bunch of Jedi, you know, duking it out. But is there a reason why we don't see more from that era when it's a lot more loose with the story progression throughout the...
You're saying like, why don't we see more Old Republic content? Yeah.
Well, he's also asking, when they told the Old Republic story, there was a lot more room for interpretation. Like, you could kind of, like, do your own thing versus now Star Wars is very much so, like, cut and dry, right? It's, like, it's set in stone. Like, this is how Star Wars is.
I think it's what Tim said. It's they're very concerned with the story fitting together piece by piece. For my Blizzard friends, Red Shirt Guy, who literally was at BlizzCon, and the guy who created Warcraft basically told him on stage, like, yeah, you messed up part of the story by making this, I forget what it was, something with the dwarves.
Uh-huh.
The guy who made the universe, and he was like, yeah, but then if you do that, we can't explain this. And he was like, you're right. Hey, can we get that changed in the story? Like, they don't want that moment happening for Star Wars.
Yeah.
And Star Wars fans are already, like, we saw the controversy with the Ki-Adi-Mundi's age with Acolyte
from a
book that's not canon from 2001.
No, it wasn't. It was his birthday. It was his birthday from a disc.
It was in the Phantom Menace, like, encyclopedia.
It was an encyclopedia that you had
on a disc.
It was a disc. You had to put in a CD-ROM.
So that means someone...
Like this was.
Hold on.
When did Episode 1 come out?
2000.
Okay, so this is so like Windows ME was still a thing, and like this is what like you had to go
Windows ME.
Yeah, like this is what we're talking about. Like,
someone had a compact computer.
Yes.
With a CD-ROM and Windows ME, watched Acolyte and was immediately like, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's imagine him sitting there.
You could hear it go, and spin up.
I have to wait till it starts. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Windows ME screen.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember. Was it the normal Windows noise on Windows ME?
I don't remember.
Says she's saying no.
No.
No, okay.
I was like, Windows Home, Windows ME,
this poor guy's Windows XP. Here while we go through this.
I'm so sorry.
But yeah, I mean, like, we saw that. They're already at the throat trying to, like, find the missteps. And sometimes they do. Sometimes there are things that I'm like, you know what, you're probably right.
And those mishaps, I think they look on the surface as mishaps, but knowing when you look at the Star Wars picture and like what we've been shown so far when it comes to Filoni, I trust him a lot, because when you give him time to cook and you see the end result, when you go through that adventure with him and you get to, and you're like, oh, I get it. I understand. And like, people are looking at this and like they're not getting the bigger picture, because it really hasn't been put out in front of us yet. And it's just like, sometimes you just need to be on for the adventure and just enjoy it.
Yeah, the other part of that is, I'm still thinking about the compact computer.
Sorry.
I didn't know it was a CD-ROM.
He probably took it out of like a glass case.
He's had it on his shelf for like 20 freaking years.
Finally.
I've been waiting for this moment. I lost my train of thought, huh?
We were talking about Star Wars and structure.
Yes, we've been talking about Star Wars for the best hour.
I'm trying to get you back on track.
Anyway, I mean, yeah, the storytelling has to remain sealed, if you will, to an extent. And it's the way they're doing it. The other part is, when people find those faults, this is what I was going to say. You got to remember what he said about letting Dave cook. They're 4 years ahead of us. They know what's coming before the end of the decade in the Star Wars story than we do. They might be laying groundwork for things that we think are like, that's retcon. They're like, no, it's not. You'll just find out in 3 years.
Because they're pulling content from EU. Like he has said in interviews, he's like, all of these people made all of this content. The problem, to your point, EU is so loose, and that's the issue.
I mean, it's three layers
of it.
It's
just everywhere. It's like these stories that are just going in which way, and like no one kept them in check.
And it's crazy stuff in EU, like the Star Weirds. Some of you are like Googling, what the hell is a Star Weird? Enjoy that. just things like that were in EU that I'm like, so you have a problem with this, but, and the Star Wars are cool, don't get me wrong, I like them, but like something called, that was the name we came up with for this. We all agreed in the Star Wars committee EU meeting.
Someone was really proud about
Star Wars.
I got something for you.
See you next week. It's just stuff like that. So to keep the story consistent, I feel like Disney or Lucas is really trying to piece it together in a way, and they're using the games, they're using television, they're using movies, they're using books to really keep this straight line, and that is why we don't get these dynamic, like, I can create my own journey type of situations. Now, what we said before with Dune, maybe, just maybe, you know, this takes place in an alternate reality.
And I think if that game is successful and people like, really embrace
IPs
that, you're going to see other IPs going that route where they're like, man, we have a problem and we can't ruin our story, but we have a really cool story that we'd love to tell if we have the opportunity to.
For our Warcraft friends, like, you know, we hear all this stuff about Classic Plus. They're going to go back to a 20-year-old game and make new bosses and new raids and new things like that in the old version, not the modern version, the old version of it. So it's always possible if someone is successful, like Dune, where they're able to be like, hey, we're going to take the ropes off so we can just go crazy, and other IPs see that it's successful, they'll follow suit. So maybe, just maybe, we'll get some sort of alternate reality, which could be more of a playground like Visions is.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, you're welcome.
Any last second questions?
Because we're at that time.
We got one more.
Okay, hurry.
He's got a red shirt. Is that a new Coca-Cola shirt?
Yeah, fall down.
Nice.
Excellent.
I go by Jax.
What's up, Jax?
Hey, Jax, what's up, dude?
I'm from Jacksonville.
I love it. It makes
on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay,
cool, perfect.
So my question here today is, what do you want to see, like, an idea from the EU into canon?
Star Weirds. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, like, you're the EU guy, and you've always told me about the Immortal Emperor, and so, like, that's always been, like, I really want the Immortal Emperor
storyline. I'm obsessed with the idea that Sidious, you know how Sidious, like, hides artifacts, and he really studied Sith history?
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with the idea that everything he did on Exegol was because he was trying to emulate the sorcery that the Immortal Emperor had mastered, and he could not do it. If they can make that connection, it really makes 7, 8, and 9 a bit more palatable.
Yeah.
Like, cloning in the EU,
Well, he's trying to clone. The Sith Emperor, the Immortal Emperor, jumped from body to body in essence, like he would take the body of strong warriors and leaders and things like that and literally just possess them. So I think that I hope that if they studied that and Sidious is a school of the or the student of the past, that that is the solution to why he was doing what he was doing. Not just like, I want to live forever. It was more, you know, like I'm trying to emulate what he did and possess bodies. So the first step was making clones and then transferring my essence into the clones versus finding people that I could possess. So I'm hoping that was like how he was attempting to build up to that point. And that's why we got what we got in 79.
Yeah.
Like with my idea, I would like to see like the non-Star Wars galaxy species, mm-hmm. like the Yuuzhan Vong to make.
That's his, oh boy, so, calm down, Kevin.
I think back season, in the cut season 6 stuff, I believe, I remember seeing Dave Filoni saying that he would like to see. Like,
he was toying with the idea of bringing them in. Yeah.
And like the Grisk, like I think that's why there's the Grisk are there and like all that stuff. So.
There, I mean, and Ahsoka just showed us that we can go beyond the red line now. And that would be where the Yuuzhan Vong is. So who's to say? I mean, Peridia, we're going to more go with the Zepho. I saw a thing this morning about how the Zepho are connected to this whole thing with Abeloth and the Night Sisters.
Oh, thank God.
Stuff. So, we see the hand of the EU with the Abeloth rumors. I mean, I feel like that should blow the lid off of most people who are EU fans that we're going to get a live-action version of the mother. So with that being said, we know that things are outside beyond where we went in Peridia, where the Yuuzhan Vong would be, where the Grisk are, and all these other races that we really want to see. The Yuuzhan Vong, though, goes back to the person that asked the original question. You'd really have to up the content rating a bit if you bring the Yuuzhan Vong in. They're in a race that's built entirely on pain, so.
That's not palatable.
Yeah. I mean, they're just awesome, awesome, awesome. If you don't know who they are, Google it and read some books, and they're awesome.
Cool.
Thank you, Jax.
Thank you very much.
We do have to wrap.
Yeah.
We're done with Star Wars and Scotch for 2024, live from
another one in the books, dude.
At Universal Orlando Resort. I love saying that so much. But thank you all for coming.
Yeah, thank you very much.
There's a Destiny tournament on the main stage. Make sure you meet your creators. Maybe play some You got knocked out.
There's merch if you haven't gotten your merch yet. It's by my beautiful wife. It's over at registration. So make sure you get your GCX merch.
Thanks for coming.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.